Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Once again, looking at in the last days, there will come 2 Peter chapter 3. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we bring before you this morning the many who are not feeling well, the many who are facing diseases or surgeries. Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage your hearts this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts from thy precious word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, what? Scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his, what? His coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Many people this morning are sitting in bed. It's Sunday morning, but they're in bed. Or they're lounging right now, maybe still in their pajamas, with their TV remotes, and maybe they've gotten at least to the point where they're, you know, drinking some iced tea or something, but they're just going to lounge around. I mean, this is Memorial Day weekend, and they're just going to take it easy, and they've forgotten all about God. They've forgotten him. As it says out on the sign, my people have forgotten me days without number. And that's America. That is America. I wonder how many really today will remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. Why did people come to this land? Well, the major thing was religious freedom. And many people this morning are not taking advantage of that. They're just, as I said, lounging around. Many people will go on vacation. And when they go on vacation, they go on vacation from God. We enjoy visiting other churches when you can find one that still preaches out of the King James Bible and has some decent music, and that's getting harder to find, but we enjoy what little we get out, you know, visiting the church. We don't forget about God just because it's vacation. What if God took a vacation from us? What if God was on vacation Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for this weekend from us? Well, it'd be like the tribulation period, would it not? When the Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ is removed from this world, what is it going to be like? It's going to be terrible down here. Terrible. Can you imagine trying to pray today and God's on vacation? Well, it'd be horrible to know that for 4 days, God wasn't going to answer you, but that Satan would have his way. You know, I truly believe it is the last days, as we have seen from Hebrews chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son. It is, scripturally, the last days since Jesus was here on the earth. We talked about that last time. I don't know, I think about our dear families just in the church here, just the many things that our families have suffered in recent days, in recent months. And I just believe it is the last of the last times, and that Satan is just testing the waters. As Luke 18 says, when Jesus comes, shall he find faith on the earth? We are living in a very trying day. So there will come scoffers scoffing about the Lord's return. Homeland Security decided some weeks ago that we, blood-washed, born-again Christians, are people to watch. People to watch. As we mentioned last week, the global warming alarmists don't like us because we know the promise of the Lord's return, that he's coming back. And so our exhaust is not going to destroy this earth. God is going to speak the word. This earth is going to be warmed up someday, but not by our exhaust. It's by God's word, as we see. In verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall what? Melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So why do they ridicule the Lord's coming? Because they don't want to have to face God. If God created this earth, then they have to answer to him. And so they don't want to admit to that. Notice in Acts 1. So they ridicule the Lord's return. They ridicule those who believe in the Lord's return. They say all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We're in a financial crunch in America. We called on yesterday some fancy houses, expensive houses. And for the most part, they didn't give us the time of day. They just think everything's going to continue. I'm going to get to stay in my mansion and nothing's going to change. Nothing's affecting them yet. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the what? The times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. It didn't say we're salesmen. It said we're witnesses. We can witness to the truth. We can't force them to accept it, but we can witness. We can be honest and tell them, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye what? Gazing up into heaven. Why are you standing here? The point is this. It's not God's will for us to stand and to say, well, the Lord's coming back soon. We've got to watch. Well, watching is not staring at the clouds. Watching is being faithful. Watching is like a soldier standing guard. He said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then they returned back to Jerusalem. So they stopped gazing and they went back. And soon then they'd be to work, back to work. So, as I mentioned, some people have their mansions now, but notice in John 14, but they scoff. Isn't it amazing that they are so particular about their mansions here? I mean, we was at one yesterday, brick, fancy brick. The grass was immaculate. It had an underground sprinkling system. It looked like it was professionally mowed. You know, how the professional mowers always have to mow it on an angle, you know, and they go back and forth and give it that striped appearance. And it's just, you know, everything's perfect. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. It's not like the newer translations that say apartments. How many of you would look forward to going to heaven to an apartment? Not me. I'll take God's promise. I go to prepare a place for you. It's a mansion. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where is he? Heaven. Where I am, there you may be also. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not, they don't believe in believers caught up going to heaven to these mansions. They believe they're going to stay here. Well, they're right. They will stay here. They'll be left behind, but it's not what they think. So the Lord is preparing a mansion for us. So people have their mansions here and their hearts are here and they're all wrapped up here. We're looking for a mansion in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt. So we saw last week as we began to look at this passage that people walk in ignorance. They walk in lust. And then secondly, today, they walk in ignorance. So verse 3, and back in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter, there will come scoffers. What will characterize them? Well, they'll walk in lust. That's how they'll walk. We're seeing it today. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So that's number one. Number two, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 5, for this they willingly are what? Ignorant. So they walk in ignorance. They walk in lust and they walk in ignorance. How many of you would go out and buy a new car just on a handshake? Now, years ago, you'd do something like that. My dad was in construction, and when I was a boy, he never signed any contract with anyone. Back then, you never had to have a builder's license. Someone would just call him up and say, Frank, I'd like you to add on to our house, or I'd like you to build us a new house. They didn't used to have blueprints. My dad would just draw some drawings up, sizes, what size windows. I mean, you didn't have to turn in any blueprints to the building inspector. There was nothing like that. No contract signed. At the end of every week, my dad would give them a bill, and they'd pay the bill, and that was it. Much different than today. But today, you know, would you allow someone to start building on your house with no contract? Well, you probably would not. No exchange of receipts. At the end of the week, you give the carpenter cash for his labor. And yet today, people are trusting their eternity with no assurance. No assurance. They have nothing in writing. And you ask them, do you know for sure from the Bible you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. So you don't know for sure. I mean, if you stop someone and say, is this your car? They're not going to say, well, I hope it is. Oh, it's theirs. Or they're in trouble if they're driving it. I mean, they may honestly say, well, it's the bank's, you know. You may ask someone, is this your home? And they're not going to say, well, I hope so. I mean, they'll either say it's mine or it's the bank's, one or the other. But they know. There's something in writing. And yet those same people who wouldn't buy a car without something being signed, who wouldn't buy a house, if you buy a house today, I mean, there's so many papers to sign. It's ridiculous, and it's getting away with many other things as well. It seems like the last vehicle we bought, it's getting more like a house, you know. Sign this, at least with a used vehicle, sign this, sign this, sign this. Is this the actual mileage? You know, when we sold a house one time, the realtor or the title office, whoever, I had to sign a paper that there'd never been an oil spill on my property, and I hesitated. I says, well, I have changed the oil in my car, and I have spilled oil on this ground. I said, no, I don't mean that kind of an oil spill. So, I mean, it's everything's in writing, and yet these people have nothing in writing when it comes to eternity. And if you bring up the Bible and say, the Bible says you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Oh, no, I don't need to talk about that. Would they do that with a house? Sir, you want to sell your house? Okay, here's the cash. Well, here, let me show you the paperwork. No, don't tend to that. Don't worry about that. They wouldn't do that. Absolutely ridiculous. But in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the what? The word of God. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and they are standing out of the water and in the water. You know, you realize in America today that many people are willingly ignorant that the heavens were by the word of God. They are being trained in evolution. They're being trained that you graduated from an animal. Is it any wonder they act like animals? I was in a doctor's office this week. People were talking a different language. I'm not sure what it was. But the boy was acting like an animal. Well, he that loveth his son chasteneth him. Proverbs 3:24. If we don't love our children, we don't chasten them. And that's what happens so many times. People in America are willingly ignorant. Willingly, because there are Bibles enough and to spare. It's rare when we ask people at their door, do you have a Bible in your home? It's rare when they say no. Sometimes they say, well, I have one somewhere. Sometimes they'll say, well, my wife has one or my grandma gave me one. But it's rare when someone says, I don't have a Bible. So people in America are willingly ignorant. They are not in the Word of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you realize how many millions of dollars man has spent on trying to decide how we got here? They send probes out into space with goofy signs on them saying, you know, if anyone finds this out there, you know, we are humans on Earth. Duh. Well, the only ones out there is God and the angels and Satan and his angels. And guess what? They know we're here. All of them. They know we're here. Ignorant people. I mean, they have PhDs in ignorance. That's what it is. That's what it is. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. It's like the communists in Russia kept drilling in their children, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. And finally, the child looks back at the parent and says, do you think that God knows we don't believe in him? I mean, all these people who say they don't believe in God and they use his name in vain all the time. Well, if he doesn't exist, why are you using his name? Why didn't you pick some other goofy name? Why? Because then it would be goofy. Because there's no such person. So they have picked a name of one who exists, and they drag his name in the mud day after day after day and blaspheme his name. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I see one of the foundations that the previous generations have let slip is this matter of evolution. I mean, back when there was no choice, or it became that way in America, when all there was the public school, and when I was a boy, I only know of one Christian school that started in the area. I didn't know of any homeschooling going on. I don't think it was back then. I think it was more like in the 80s, maybe, when the homeschooling movement started. Many battles were fought over that. But when evolution was inserted into education, that is when there had to have been a lot of God-fearing people and a lot of Christians who should have stood up and said, wait a minute, that is the foundation. Foundation. Even in this matter, when the state senator from down Chicago way is in Michigan is trying to get adultery decriminalized. And when we're facing the sodomite marriage thing, all we have to do is go back to that foundation that's been kicked out. I was only there one night, but there's a thing that the Jews started. It's self-defense. I will not say the name because I'll probably say it wrong. But anyway, I went down with some of our young guys there one night. It's not some has, that has nothing to do with some any Eastern religion. It's just something the Jews came up with for self-defense. And so one of the guys was, well, they showing us different things, but one of the guys showed me a certain move and said, you know, at this point you can with your knee kick the other guy's knee out. And you know how it is when someone comes up behind you and all your weight is on your legs. If you're standing, all your weight is on your legs. And if somebody kicks out one of those legs, your first tendency is to go down at least a little bit because your weight is evenly dispersed on those. And so the generation where evolution was inserted into public education should have stood up and realized, hey, you can't do this. You can't insert evolution instead of creation, because that is the foundation, and everything will fall. When Jesus was asked, he was trying to be tricked, but in Matthew 19, he was asked about putting wives away, about divorce. And what did Jesus do? He went back to creation. That's what he did. He went back to creation. In Matthew 19, verse 3, Matthew 19, 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for what? Every cause. You see, they were trying to get him. There were two basic schools of thought going on at this time. And so they were trying to get him to take sides. What did he do? Verse 4, And he answered and said unto them, have ye not what? Read. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking to doctors of the law. You know, go up to a seminary professor and say, haven't you ever read the Bible? Well, he makes you wonder sometimes today, doesn't it? Have you not read that he which made them when? At the beginning. Made them what? Male and female. That takes care of the sodomite marriage thing, and that takes care of the adultery thing right there. Haven't you read the Bible, boys? That at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That takes care of the sodomite thing. No, same gender marriage or unions is not right. Jesus went back to the beginning. God didn't make two Adams and he didn't make two Eves. He made a male and a female. Verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his what? His wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man what? Put asunder. So all we got to do is go back to creation. Just think of all what our, just think how much time our politicians waste talking about these matters. All you'd have to do, just think of the money that would be saved, and how God could bless our land if we just get back to the Bible. Just think, all the books and the laws, just imagine if we could put a stack of all the laws of the United States of America somewhere here. I have no idea how tall it would be and how many stacks it would take. Probably a lot of them. But this one book here, if we just follow this one, it would supersede all of those, and you know what? God could bless us. God could bless our land if we just get back to this book. And so Jesus went right back to the beginning. Think of the millions of children who have been educated in evolution and are so confused. When I was growing up, I never believed I came from an animal. And yet at school, I read all that trash. But it did confuse me in this sense. I didn't know where dinosaurs fit into the picture. I just came as I grew up realizing that the Bible is true, evolution is false, and I'd heard that some of these skeletons, you know, they'd find one bone and the rest of it was all plaster of Paris. And so in my mind, I just determined, you know what, dinosaurs really never existed. It's these scientists found a bone somewhere and they're making all these huge animals up, you know, out of their own imagination. And so it took later on in my life, hearing and reading the creation science, like Institute for Creation Research, Henry Morris out of California, and Kent Hovind, some of these men who put all these things together, and I never realized that dinosaurs were just big lizards, you know, reptiles that grow and grow and grow and grow, and when they live for many, many, many years, they grow really big. But I didn't realize that as a young person, and so it confused me. But not only science books are so in error, but history books. History is being rewritten. I mean, now the pilgrims are the bad guys, you know? This is such a mixed-up day. Well, back in 2 Peter chapter 3, they're willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. That's what God says. These scoffers who deny the Lord's return are willingly ignorant. And we face it today. Verse 4, 2 Peter 3, 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I mean, you have even people that were raised in church, have a religious background, and even they scoff at the Lord's return. Oh, yeah, grandpa, grandma, always talk about the Lord coming back. Yeah, he didn't come back. And even they scoff at it. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same what? Word. What word? God spoke these things into existence. Verse 5, says that by the word of God that the heavens were of old. You see, some people come along and they just can't stand for the world to think that they're not quite as smart as they are. So they said, okay, well, I believe God created everything and then just used evolution or millions of years to form it. That's ignorance. That's plain ignorance. It says, by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And by that same word, verse 7, they're kept in store. If you'd hold your place here, turn to me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. God didn't take millions of years to create this earth. He spoke it into existence. Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33, 6, by the what? Word of the Lord were the heavens what? Made. By his word. And all the host of them by the breath of his what? His mouth. Look at verse 9. For he what? Spake and it was what? Done. He commanded and it what? Stood fast. He didn't start this blob and had it gradually form into something. That would be cruel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine making something with all kinds of defects and then causing millions of years and trial and error, births, defects, birth, defect, birth. You know, can you imagine forming something in that way? Well, that's what some people foolishly believe. They want to believe in God. They want to believe in evolution. The Bible says they're willingly ignorant because it was by the word of the Lord, back in 2 Peter 3, by the word of the Lord, these things were made. In verse 7, by the word, by that same word are kept in store. Sometimes people talk about, yeah, God's going to destroy this world with nuclear bombs. Listen, God doesn't need a nuclear bomb to melt this earth. It says right here, it's his word. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said, let it be, and it was. And one day he's going to say, let it burn, and it's going to burn. He doesn't need an atomic bomb. He knows all about atoms long before man did. God just has to speak the word, and those atoms are going to burn. They're going to react. They're going to melt with fervent heat. But why are these scoffers still scoffing? It goes on to tell you why. In verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of what? Judgment. And what? Perdition of who? Ungodly men. That is why they're scoffing. Because to acknowledge, and you know, evolution is absolutely ridiculous. There has not been one transitional form ever been found after all these years. They have never found where a monkey has turned into a man, ever, or a fish into a bird, or whatever they want to say turned into what? They've never found any transitional fossils. Why do they still hold on? A worldwide flood is the only thing that makes sense of how a tree can be petrified, standing right up in the different layers. And what do they say, though? Well, that took millions and billions of years. How did that tree stand there that long without rotting? Something's rotten in their heads. Actually, it goes down a little further. Something's rotten in their hearts. And it tells you what it is. Verse 7. The reason they will not accept a worldwide catastrophe flood answers all of these things about all these fossils. Why will they not accept it then? The geologic evidence is there for a worldwide flood. You can see the erosion on the stones. You can find the fossilized bones there petrified. Why will they not accept the obvious? Because the Bible tells why there was a worldwide flood. In Genesis 6, let's turn there. And this is why they cannot acknowledge a worldwide flood, because then they're going back to agreeing with the Bible. But if they agree with the Bible that there was a worldwide flood, they're going to have to acknowledge something. In Genesis 6, verse 3. Genesis 6, 3, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5. And God saw that the what? Wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every what? Imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. You could put Hollywood there, verse 5. Their imagination is so vile. Making all these films now about sodomy, and it's been about immorality for such a long time. The reason they will not accept a worldwide flood is because they had to be admitted that the Bible is right. Then they'd have to say, well, why was that flood caused? Because of man's wicked imaginations. That's why. And then they would be faced with, you know what? Matthew 24 says, well, let's look there. If there was a worldwide flood and it was to destroy mankind for his wicked imagination, then someone would surely point out that, you know what? That reminds us of something. Matthew 24, verse 36. Well, let's back up. Matthew 24, 33. Matthew 24, 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Here it's coming. There is coming a judgment on this earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, but as the days of who? Noah were. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us there's going to come scoffers in the last day walking after their own what? Lusts. My friends, that's today. And then he talks about these people are willingly ignorant. They're scoffing at the Lord's return, but they're walking in lust. My friends, that's exactly how they walked in Noah's day. And then Matthew 24 here tells us as the return of the Lord, it's going to be like the days of Noah. What were they doing? Walking in lust, scoffing, ridiculing Noah. But the judgment came suddenly and took them all away. It caught them off guard. So why won't these so-called scientists accept the premise of a worldwide flood? Because they would have to accept then that the Bible is right, that the flood came to take ungodly men away, and only those who were saved by grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6. You can only be saved by grace. And it caught everyone else off guard. And so, why do they scoff? The only other option is to acknowledge that the Bible is right. And if the Bible is right, there's coming a day of judgment. And so that's why in 2 Peter 3, he talks about repentance. And my friends, we're not hearing that today. It's just, we have false prophets saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. I was just reading in my Bible in Ezekiel. You know, it gets discouraging going out when people don't listen. It's discouraging. You know, I'm just flesh. I get discouraged. And it's discouraging. And so when I was reading in my Bible, God told him, Ezekiel, if I sent you to a people of a strange speech, a strange language, they would listen. But he says, I'm sending you to Israel, and I'm telling you right now, they're not going to listen. But nonetheless, warn them. Warn them. And so I say, okay, Lord. You sure you don't want me to go to some other land? Okay, Lord. Okay. 2 Peter 3. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Yes, we get weary. Yes, we say, Lord, come quickly. I'm tired. I think some of you are tired this morning too. I'm tired. Lord, come. Why doesn't he come? It's not because he doesn't exist. It's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he can't hear. What'd you say? Huh? You know, it calls him the Ancient of Days. Well, he's not hard of hearing. He's just long-suffering. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his what? His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that who? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I remember yesterday, the man at the fancy house, expensive house, he's Catholic, he's got white hair, didn't want anything. You know, in my flesh, I may say, oh, buddy, you'll get yours. That's not how God looks at it. He's not willing that that white-haired, foolish man, who was up in years, is still rejecting him. God still wants him to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10 reminds us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come unexpected. Yeah, we believe in the Big Bang, but different than theirs. Verse 10, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great, what? Noise. Yes, this earth is going to be associated with a Big Bang, but it's not happened yet. It's coming. The heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yes, we believe in global warming, but totally different than what they believe. Global warming is coming after the Big Bang. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What should we do? Verse 11, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then we go. God's looking to catch away a holy people. And so in these days, we can't get weary. Can't get weary. We got to hold up one another's arms like they held up Moses. He was weary. And when he let his arms down, they'd lose the battle. So he had to keep those arms up. And we've got to pray for one another. Help hold each other's arms up. Yes, we get weary. But one day that trumpet's going to sound. And we can't get mad at God for taking so long. Have you ever got mad at someone for taking long? Honey, get out of that bathroom. Children, get out of that bathroom. I've got to get in there. So many things. We get tired of waiting. But we can't get mad at God. We can't tell him, hurry up. He cares about all people that they come to repentance. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, or surely none of us would be here. We'd all be a pile of ashes, but for your grace. So, Lord, help us to have that same patience with others. Help us to realize, Lord, why they're scoffing. They're really not scoffing at us. It's you they're scoffing at. Lord, help us to have compassion on them. They're educated fools. They're willingly ignorant. They're willingly ignorant about creation, and they're willingly ignorant about your second coming because they don't want to repent. They love their sin too much. Lord, help us. Help us not to get weary trying to reach them. These people of our own speech, of our own language, help us, Lord, to try to reach them, to have compassion on their poor souls. Lord, please work in our hearts. Help us to be faithful till you call us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.